Please keep that open as we look at it together. And let's pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. You may know the story of King Canute. It may or may not have happened, but it's a famous story. He was a king in England, and he was being praised by many around him. And so he went down to a beach, and he sat there, possibly on his throne as the tide was coming in. He said, look, I'm going to stop the tide. You think I'm this powerful? I am going to stop the tide. And so he was trying to stop the tide, trying to stop the tide. And as you can probably imagine, he ended up with wet feet. The story goes, then the king leapt backwards, saying, let all men know how empty and worthless is the power of kings, for there is none worthy of the name but he whom heaven, earth, and sea obey by eternal laws. And apparently put his crown on a crucifix next to him and said, I can't do anything compared to the Lord. He knew that there are some things he could do nothing about, this overwhelming tide coming towards him. And that's a useful picture, I think, because sometimes our problems can feel a bit like this. Something's coming inescapably, unstoppably, overwhelming. Maybe it has happened. You can remember a period in your life. Maybe it is going on right now. Is it the pressures of the world or sins that continue to entangle us and entice us? Or lies that the devil speaks about what is important and what is valuable? We think to ourselves, I can't go any further. I can't do this. This is too much for me to take. In this passage, we will see what looks like an overwhelming threat facing God's people. And we will see how God remained faithful and encourages us to be faithful, to lean on him through these times. There's a couple of headings in your service sheet, if you find those useful. Last week, if you were here, we looked at God's judgment on the self-reliant. God's judgment on God's arrogant people, so Israel, who turned to their own way and wanted to do things in their own strength. And then his judgment on the godless world, in this case, Assyria, who'd come along, been used as a tool by God, but then got beyond themselves. A lot of destruction. You may have been feeling a bit gloomy with this Isaiah bit. Come on, it's Christmas coming. The question here is, how will God keep his promises? He has promised a place and his presence to bless a people as numerous as the sand on the beach or as the stars in the sky. How will he do this with all of this wreckage around? We think today about God's salvation of the God's reliance, not the self-reliant, but those who trust in God. So firstly, in the first few verses of our passage, 20 to 23, God promises a faithful remnant. It starts with God, what he will do. Verse 20, in that day, and it continues kind of from verse 12 and following, the Lord finishing his work, sorting out, punishing Assyria, in that day. And it says, in that day, the remnant. The remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob. A description of all the tribes of Israel. And the remnant is all that remains of God's people, of the sons of Jacob, the tribes of Israel. In that day, that remnant will not lean on Assyria, who struck him, but they will be found relying on, or literally leaning on, the Lord. And the Lord, when you see it in capital letters, is the covenant name. It's the name of relationship, Father God, with his people. So think about what you lean on. I don't know if you kind of go for walks and you need something to lean on or where that might be. But you don't want an object that could shatter and cut you. Think of sort of a delicate glass thing or pottery thing that might then sort of break and hurt you. You want your trustworthy, stout walking stick. Something with a handle that's worn to the shape of your hand and is comfortable and trustworthy. It's what leaning on the Lord is like. And leaning on the Lord is faith. In fact, trust in sign language is that sign, kind of leaning on, having faith, pushing down on someone who will not let you down. Here it is, faith in the Lord, relying on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, relying on him for all of life. Then in verse 21 of 22, we come back to this remnant language, repeated for emphasis. And remnant is described as returning. A remnant will return. Only a remnant will return. It's a bit like the word for repentance. Do you remember the repentance sort of turning around? Repentance, not just saying sorry, but it's almost a physical thing of you were going your way and you decide to turn around and go God's way. The remnant will return to the mighty gods. Turning back to the mighty God, a warrior God who's completed his victory and brought his plans to completion. So that word destruction, 22 and 23, is kind of completion, consummation. It has that idea. When he's sorted out and done everything he had planned, the remnant will return. God's plans included judging the people of Israel, as we saw in chapter 9 and 10. So it's a small number that return. And it's a problem because God promised Abraham a people more numerous than the stars, than the sand, which are reminded of these promises. We're not to doubt, though. Maybe it's a bit like planning your Christmas delivery of your food. If you're the one who's got the hosting duties this year and the truck pulls up and you're expecting several lorry loads of those crates to arrive and all you get is the bag of Brussels sprouts. It's a delivery. But it's not as much as was promised. It shows something about that delivery company. And if we're stuck with just a small number here, it'll show something about God. But God assures us, and we will see, that he is still in control, bringing his plans to completion upon the whole land, verse 23. Whilst the opposition has looked evil and vast, God's faithfulness and mercy, acting in history, is overwhelming and righteous. Through this seeming disaster, God promises a faithful remnant. And so then he lays down a challenge, secondly, to be a faithful remnant to these people, hearing Isaiah speak. Therefore, verse 24, because of this promise of a remnant returning, in light of this promise, therefore, do not be afraid. My people who live in Zion, do not be afraid. Now, you're all Isaiah scholars now. You've been in it a few weeks. Do you remember that phrase, do not be afraid, in light of the threat coming up before? Do you remember King Ahaz inspecting the defences back in chapter 7? He was quaking with fear at the threat. God said to Isaiah with his son, Shear-Jashub, remnant will return. It's those same words. So Isaiah and his son, called remnant will return, turn up to him. And it's that same phrase. So if you look back in chapter 7, verse 2, now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Two enemy countries have allied against you. The Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, a remnant will return, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct, the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. And later on at the end of verse 9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. Do not be afraid, Ahaz, stand firm.